Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I'm starting out talking with Robin Kohler of Nestlings by Robin. We're going to talk about fusible applique and block of the months and have a good time. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing really, really well. The sun just went in, though, so I was wishing the sun was still out. That's So, Robin, tell me a little bit about how you discovered quilting. Have you been quilting a long time?
I have been quilting now about 15 years or so, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had started out probably the way a lot of other people started. I tried a lot of different things, cross-stitch, woodworking, painting. And my husband is in the Coast Guard, and we were stationed in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. When another spouse who loved quilting decided she wanted to teach people because she wanted some company.
Yeah. Oh, how so cool.
Yeah, it was a great way to learn. We'd go to her house once a week, and she'd show us a technique, and we would drink rum punch and eat chocolate cake. And you can't ask for a better quilting beginning than that.
Oh, my gosh, that is so funny. So where did you get your fabric when you were in Puerto Rico? Was it easy to find some?
No.
No?
Now, see, it's really funny because, well, when I was there, no, pretty much you had Walmart. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I mean, this is end of the 90s, I guess. Mm-hmm. So since I have been in quilting and designing and going to market, I actually do see occasionally people there from quilt shops in Puerto Rico now, which we did not have when I was there. So it would be really fun to see what kind of fabrics they carry.
That would be fun. I've been to the Old Town primarily. Mm-hmm. So I always think that it would be a really cute place for a quilt shop to be.
In, yeah.
Right down in the Old Town in San Juan. You know, it would just be so cool. When did you start your company, and what does the name mean?
Well, I started the company in 2004 when we were living in a different place, and I know. And it was funny because I really, you know, people think, oh, my name's Robin, so I went Nestlings because I'm a bird lover, and I'm not a bird lover necessarily. It just seemed to fit with the theme of re-nesting my home every time we moved, mm-hmm. and my little girls being my little nestlings, and, you know, it was just, and nestling yourself in quilts when you're cold and feeling mm-hmm. that warmth and that comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more of a feeling than a specific thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it fits. I think it's just, I just love it, and I think it fits you, too. So that's really, isn't that great when it all kind of comes together? So now one thing that you and I share is the love of applique, and you do a lot of projects that have patchwork and applique, but I thought we'd just sort of focus on the applique. What kind of method do you prefer to use?
Well, if I had my druthers, I would always do needle turn, but I don't always have the time for needle turn. So I do tend to fuse a lot of my designs, and I write the instructions for fusible because I know that that tends to be where most people want to be when they're doing applique, is fusing it.
So you were telling me you have some neat tricks for working in multiples, because they're often projects that you need to make, 80 leaves or something like that. We don't like to count those, though.
If only I could figure out how to do that for needle turn, it would be fantastic. But cutting multiples for fusible is much easier.
Yeah.
And it's really just basic of learning what your template size is. Whatever your basic template size, you don't really need to add too much seam allowance. You need to add a little bit, though, for your fusible.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tutorial on the website, and it kind of goes through some of that math for you. But you're basically going to decide what would be the easiest size strip that you could cut these pieces out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get your strip width, then you'll need a you'll need to know how big to cut those sections, and you'll apply your fusible to the back of that strip and then cut rectangles. You're just going to cut a bunch of rectangles.
Okay.
And then you can use a freezer paper template of the actual applique shape that you need, mm-hmm. and apply that one template to the top of four rectangles or so.
Mm-hmm.
And using the wonderful invention of binder clips, you can cut 3 to 4 templates at a time. So you're not going to get away with, you know, doing no work, but you'll at least cut your work by a quarter, maybe.
Well, you know, that's, I hadn't really thought about, you know, that's a great tip to put the freezer paper shape on top of that stack. So, and then it's firm. Do you press it to iron it?
Yes, I iron the one template in place, but I also use the binder clips so that I can hold those four sections together without them slipping while I'm cutting.
Right.
And the other thing that would be really important that I've really found useful are scissors with a very fine serrated edge, because when you're going through that many layers, that serrated edge of the scissors really wants to grip the fabric and pull you along.
Ah, well, that's interesting, because I tend to not use them because I like to sort of drag the scissor when I'm doing a cut, but I don't usually do multiple layers, so it's a totally different process. Ah,
that's
good
why we have
tip.
So many different tools, because every
yes.
tool has its own little niche in our world.
Right. So explain to people how you tell something is a serrated scissor. What do they look for if they've never seen it?
Well, it would look like the edge of one of your butter knives. You know, the butter knives that have that little bit of grooving up at the tip. It's not pinking shears. Those are too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a smooth blade. It just has these tiny, itty-bitty little teeth in them.
Mm-hmm. And you can feel it, can't you? You can just softly put your hand there. You'll feel it's not smooth.
Exactly.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your block of the months, because you do them and they're fun. So tell people about them.
Well, last year I went completely off the chart for me and did shoes, and people thought they were cute.
Yeah.
But it didn't really appeal to a mass audience. You know, shoes are kind of niche.
Yeah.
And so this year I went back to what I really love, which is the piecing and the applique. And my true love, I love Baltimore album quilts.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made one, and I probably will never design one that intricate.
Yeah.
But I love the concept of them, and I like the look and the feel of them. So this year is, you know, just me doing my typical little whimsical traditional style and using flower heads that I've used in other designs along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But giving them a stylized look so that there's a familiarity between the blocks, but yet they all have something a little different to look at.
Now, you have a lot of slender pieces that you work with in your projects. Do you ever needle turn that type of work, or is that mostly what you do for fusible applique?
Well, you know yourself, you can get away with a lot more with fusible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, I can needle turn most of those. I mean,
okay.
the one that I'm doing for the block of the month,
mm-hmm.
I'm needle turning all of the blocks because that's what I want for my finished project.
Okay.
And when the instructions come out, the instructions will be for fusible or hand applique, and people who have their own comfort zone will do what they know.
Right.
But
right.
I'm doing my needle turn. So when you see the little tiny quarter-inch vining on there, it's needle turn. But again, knowing tips along the way, it's not needle turning the whole thing. I mean, I'm not actually needle turning the bias. I'm making bias strips and then mm-hmm. stitching them by hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I have needle turned those before in other projects. It's just taking your time and slowing down, doing that slow stitch movement people are talking about.
Yeah. Also, you need to do it often. Do you find that if you are stitching often, your skill set stays at a higher level?
Oh, I think so. I think anytime you have something that you want to get good at, practice makes perfect.
Yeah.
Or near perfect.
Yeah, near perfect. Yeah,
or near perfect. You know, I'm not a perfectionist by any means.
You know, I'm not either, because I would rather be done.
Yes.
Yeah, so... So I, you know, I gauge what's going on and what's acceptable. So I can produce a lot because that's what's more fun for me. So Robin, we have been talking so far this year about storage ideas and solving workspace woes for us quilters. What do you have for us, a storage or a workspace solution that you can share?
Well, I think, that, you know, it took me a little time in life to get to a spot where I could say, hey, this is a really good idea. Maybe I should do this instead of, you know, do as I say, not as I do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just as guilty as everybody else. You go to the store, you find all your fabrics, you find the cool idea, you're going to put it all, you put it in the bag, it comes home with you and it goes in the closet because maybe something came up when you walked through the door.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last couple of years, I've taken time to go through. I went and I went to whatever craft store and I bought those 12-inch bins that are for scrapbooking, but they're clear.
Okay.
You can see through them.
Uh-huh.
And I put the fabrics and the threads and whatever the design idea that went with that grouping, because I didn't want to start stealing from that group and put it into a different project and then not have it when I wanted
right.
it. Yeah, you know, that happens a lot. Well, I'll just
yes.
take this out of there, and then you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're all in a nice, neat box in the closet. I have probably 15 of them, and because they're all the same shape and the same size, they stack up in a nice, neat little pile, and you can put a nice label right on the front that tells you exactly what's in there. And then just like that, you have everything organized.
Do you like it with the clear box? Is that sort of a key for you personally?
Oh, yeah, because I think out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
Which is why the bag, you know, the bags, that's what happened. You got, mm-hmm. I could have a whole pile of bags in the closet, but I don't know what's in them.
I know. It's just like, and then mine is like, I can't take them and put them in like another room. Like I have, you know, if it's active, it needs to be in my active area because otherwise I forget I own it. It's like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or you'll go digging through it later and just say, well, I'll just take that one fabric out. I'll find something else later.
Yeah.
And then that's it. You're never doing that because now that fabric's gone.
That's right. Never to be seen again. Well, Robin, this has been so much fun.
Yes, it was. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. And if you don't mind, I'd like to tell your listeners that anybody who wants to sign up for my block of the month, if they put your name in the comment section of their PayPal order, they can get a month free.
Wonderful. Thanks, Robin.
No problem. Thank you.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Join the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge in March for the ultimate pillowcase competition. Gather a team and compete with other shops and groups during the month of March to make pillowcases, earn points, and be crowned the ultimate pillowcase champion. The group with the most points at the end of the competition will be awarded $1,000 cash and a visit from an editor for a talk and trunk show. Or just watch the action with weekly voting and daily prizes. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/pillowcasemadness for more information and to sign up to participate.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg, executive editor of American Patchwork and Quilting. And I'd like to invite you to join me in making pillowcases and creating smiles. For people who love to sew or quilt, it's so easy to lift spirits and bring smiles to hospitalized kids, homeless families, and others in need. Simply join American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. Make one, two, or many more pillowcases and donate them in your local community. You'll create just as many smiles. Join the movement today. Find complete details, download free patterns, and record your donations online at allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcase. Quilt along with us in 2016. Join our third annual quilt along by making a quilt, a one-block pillow, or all four projects featuring plus sign designs. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/quiltalong for a list of participating bloggers and designers, and to see photos of what staff members and other readers are sewing. Share your photos on social media using the hashtag APQQuiltAlong to join the fun.
follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I am delighted, super delighted to have Sarah Maxwell on. She is a frequent contributor to the American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. She's an author, a designer, a fabric designer, and does all kinds of fabulous things. So we're going to catch up with Sarah. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Pat. I'm looking forward to visiting with you.
You know, you are so prolific, you know, don't you? I bet nobody's told you that before, Sarah.
I've heard that a few times.
Yes, yes. Like right now, in the April 2016 issue of American Patchwork and Quilting, you have a quilt called On the Rails, right?
Yes.
And you had, two in there?
Well, I had a concept for a while that I finally got together, and I was fortunate enough that APQ published it. I'd always thought it would be nice to have the ability to change out my decorations quickly. But like most quilters, I don't have a lot of time to do everything that I want to do. So I came up with the idea of making this neutral base quilt that would kind of go with everything. Mm-hmm. And I created a topper that I can throw on top of it, and it's smaller. It's only 48 inches. So my idea is I can change that topper out seasonally or to match holidays or that special event, and just be able to decorate a little more like I want in a way that isn't a full bed-size quilt commitment.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's fun. And they have it displayed like right in the middle of the bed so that you can just get a nice impact when you come in the room and say,
right.
Oh, there's my Christmas or my Easter or my spring. That's
Yeah, that's my idea. And I'm planning to do some additional toppers along the way. So, yes, you could have a Christmas throw. You know, I'm one of those people that every year when December rolls around, I say, this is the year I'm going to decorate. And then I find out I haven't made anything.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping this will be more viable for me.
There you go. Everybody will be watching. They'll be totally watching. Now, you and I had talked prior, and so we're gonna sort of do this sort of focused discussion about fabric choices and what our own personal fabric choices are and how they change over time. Because you have made some, you know, you've been quilting a long time, and you work in different styles, but you've recently had some sort of thoughts about how you want to go forward in the near future. So what happened?
Well, I've always loved reproduction fabrics, and I think probably that's what most people know me for. When I first started quilting many years ago, I liked very bright colors, but then I kind of got drawn in by that repro look. Mm-hmm. And what happened is my daughters grew up, and they're both in their 20s now. And as they moved out, you know, I was all proud and excited and ready to send them off with some quilts, and they had to break it to me that, you know, my work just wasn't really the color or style that they saw in their home.
Yeah. Mom.
So after I recovered from that, you know, I thought, well, what is it that is appealing to people like my daughters who are in their 20s? Mm-hmm. And about that same time, I had really noticed a trend at Quilt Market with many more brighter, clearer colors, simpler designs. So, you know, I'm up for any challenge, and I thought, I'm just going to see if I can do something that's a little more modern and would have appeal to people like my daughters. And so I've started Designs by Sarah Day. It's a pattern company that's going to cater more to that look. Mm-hmm. And I'm anxious to see where it goes.
And then not only that you have now been designing fabric in the same vein.
Yes. Yeah, I'm really fortunate that I'm working with Marcus Fabrics, and they've allowed me to do many different things already. They heard that I loved batiks, and so I've got a couple of batik collections out right now. River Rock is kind of your earthy, neutral colors that would be more reminiscent of an 1800s look in color. Mm-hmm. And then Radiant Reflections are very bright, cheerful batiks. And along with that, I've done a line called Revved Up Retro that is a brighter, more fun, contemporary line, a little cleaner design. And I'm working on another modern line right now.
That is so cool. Did you find it difficult to transition? Did it take you a little while to start, like, feeling comfortable with a different colorway?
You know, I had to do a lot of study, and I spent a lot of time. The internet, of course, is a wonderful resource. I joined the Modern Quilt Guild. I started, you know, subscribing to some of those magazines and just really trying to see what the modern story was about and what appealed to people. And even now, I audition things with my two daughters. You know, I'll try something and send it off. And, you know, they're quick to say, you know, yeah, Mom, we think you're on the right track, or, ugh, that's horrible. Try again.
It's good they can be honest, you know?
That's right.
Your own personal art critique.
It's yes. Like,
and you also told me that you submitted a quilt to a show recently.
Yes. You know, in all the years I've done this, I have never submitted a quilt to a national show. You know, just always been busy, and that wasn't a focus. But I decided that the best way to maybe see if what I was designing was working in the modern category was to submit something to QuiltCon. And I was absolutely delighted to not only get my quilt accepted at this year's QuiltCon, but it's also one of the 11 designs that will be featured in the QuiltCon magazine this year.
Yay! That is so exciting. Yeah, I think it is. I like the word that you said that you had to sort of study, because I think it does take a little bit of studying to switch gears when you are like so in tune to one look. Like you could do that look in your sleep.
Right.
You know,
and there's definitely differences. So, it required me to get a whole new mindset, but I'm having a ball with it now. And I encourage people to, you know, try something new, because you just might be surprised how much you like it.
Yeah, I think that that is so true. And to find like-minded people that are doing what you want to be doing and hang out with them. It's like,
yeah.
Because otherwise it's hard to just, sometimes you need to see it in action in a way, you know, people who are kind of shopping for that look or, you know, sewing with it, then you can pick their brain.
Yes. And I'm fortunate in owning a quilt store. You know, we have worked to add more modern fabrics to the store as well. And so we listen to those customers too. Because that's a trial and error of its own to try to figure out, you know, what your customer base wants to see in a new look. So that's been very helpful to me as well.
Yeah, I really love that you're going to, you're one of the designers on the new project that I'm doing with Jane Davidson and Moda and Martingale and Orofil, called The Splendid Sampler, which people can find at thesplendidsampler.com. You're one of the designers with us.
Yes.
And tell me the fabrics that you're going to be using and working with for your own quilt.
Well, you know, Pat, when you invited me to do that, I was so thrilled and honored. And you sent me a traditional group of fabric to start with, which was totally expected since that's where I was at. But I asked if I could do something for the sew-along a little more modern, and you all were great to agree. And so I'm using a mix of Kate Spain's Aria and Jen Kingwell's Behind the Scenes and a couple of other lines to just try to get a more bright look on gray backgrounds, and I'm loving already how it comes together.
Yeah, I think gray is one of those super interesting colors. Have you been collecting grays, Sarah?
You know, I have. That was one of the first things I noticed when I started wanting to work in a more modern arena. And even though I'm making this step, I'm still at my heart a girl that loves to use 50 fabrics in place of one. So I immediately said, I've got to find a lot of gray because it's such a great background. And that's kind of what I'm doing now. It's my new shirting print, any kind of gray, low volume print.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think and I like these grays that are also, I would call them more brown. They go like more towards mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like you, I used to work in a much more cozy, warm brown color palette. Right at the beginning of my career, the first couple of years.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and then I had to change. I changed because that really was a kind of just something that happened for a short period. It wasn't my core. And so, but I still like to add dark. I like to add black in there and deep navy. So very cool. Now, you also have a book coming out. Yay!
Yeah, I do. Stash Busters is coming with Fancy Publishing in March. And I co-authored that with my business partner, Dolores, and we really try to focus in there to tell folks about how they can turn to their stash and pull in lots and lots of fabrics, how they can do some color design and color theory and make some great big quilts. The quilts in the book are all designed to fit beds.
Well, of course.
That's one of my personal things. I love quilts for beds. I know it's a real trend right now to do these smaller things, but I still like to have it fit on the bed.
Yes, I know. That's the one thing I've always been so impressed with you guys there at Homestead Hearth. It's like nothing. Yeah, this is like go big or go home. You know,
yes.
We are not doing these small wall hangings here. We're having a big quilt. That's like. So, what do you have? Tell me. Do you have one favorite in there? We just have like a minute left.
Yeah, there's a double pinwheel in there, and pinwheels have always been really near and dear to my heart, so it's called Summer Gone By, and it's probably my favorite quilt in the book.
Ooh, I can't wait to see the book, and the name of the book is again?
Stash Busters.
Yay! So, people can visit you at tell them your website name, but you're also on Facebook.
Yes, I have designsbysarahj.com is my website. I have a blog you can follow. I'm getting good about posting several times a week, and I'm on Facebook at Designs by Sarah J as well.
Thank you, Sarah. This has been awesome.
Thanks so much, Pat.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Hi, I'm Linda Augsburg. Join me for a fun video series called Show Me How, brought to you by Baby Lock. Each month, I'll show you how to complete a simple project from start to finish. Learn new techniques, see tips, and sew a great project with me. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/videos to watch.
Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for the price of one. That's a full year free. Every issue is packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, detailed photography, complete materials lists, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today at allpeoplequilt.com.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. This show is sponsored by Moda Fabrics. And I wanted to tell you that if you go out to the Moda Bake Shop, they are celebrating their 7-year anniversary, modabakeshop.com, where there are tons and tons of great free patterns. And if you go to the January 14th, 2016 post, they're sponsoring a quilt along with the alphabet. So go check that out. So now I am excited to talk to Celine Perkins of Perkins Dry Goods. She makes the most wonderful quilt patterns. They're just so, so neat, and I can't wait. So Celine, I'm so glad. I want to talk to you about your quilt patterns. I just love them.
Well, thanks, Pat.
Yeah, they are.
Glad to be here.
They always look like they're harder than they really are. I know that they're not, but I just like that they look complex, you know.
That's one of my favorite things to do is to realize that what I'm doing looks harder than it actually is to do. So they're much simpler, and a lot of times it's placement of fabric, or I eliminate seams and blocks, or make them bigger than they need to be so you can trim them down and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just think that is so. It's always great when somebody makes a quilt. You know, you make a quilt and you show people, like, oh my gosh, you know, you knew it wasn't that hard. It's like you get to say, yeah, thank you. So you've been quilting a while. Do you remember your first quilt class?
I do. And the quilt shop I took it at is still open.
It's been
a long time.
Wow.
They've been around for more than 30 years.
Oh, tell us who they are.
It's Glad Creations Quilts in South Minneapolis.
Oh, neat.
And in fact, I run into it's the girls that own it now. Their mom is retired. One of them was my teacher, but it was a hand piecing class that I took in 1983.
Oh, wow.
It was my very first class. And a girl from work thought it'd be a good idea. We got to go learn how to quilt. And so that's what we did. And that was, it was a lot of fun. I just was hooked right away. And I used to hide in my office and stitch and hope nobody would come in.
It's like under the desk, hand
yes,
piecing.
Yes.
It's easy under the desk. It's like,
yep.
Oh my gosh. How soon? I think you're kind of a core, your person is as a teacher, you know, you like to teach. When did you start teaching others to quilt?
Well, you know, I was trained as an occupational therapist and you do a lot of teaching in that job. And I actually started teaching people how to quilt in, I think it was 2000. I got my first teaching job at a quilt shop in a suburb of Minneapolis. And it was like I had died and gone to heaven. I just really, really enjoyed it. And, you know, it wasn't so much that it was like being in my therapy job, but mm-hmm. so many of the things that people would come up with were easier for me to figure out because I had to do that kind of problem solving at work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the learning styles and the, you know, how people read instructions, that it's so different than what you think they're going to interpret things as and mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it felt comfortable then. It was like an easy transition because, like, a lot of quilt makers, once they decide they want to teach, they may have no teaching background at all. And it's a learning curve.
Yeah, it really was a learning curve too, though, when I mean, it was comfortable, mm-hmm. but, you know, there were things that would always surprise me that people wouldn't understand, or things that would be much easier for students than I thought they would be. So I was constantly, it was challenging. So I think that's part of what made it fun.
Yeah. Neat. So all this time since you've, you know, kept up with quilting, you made it your business, how do you stay inspired to quilt after doing this for so many years, as having a part of your life?
You know, it's one of those funny things. It just always feels fresh to me. And maybe it's because I live where I can go to lots of quilt shops and get out and see what's going on, going to quilt market and being kind of overwhelmed by everything there, which is an understatement.
Yeah.
But, you know, just seeing what everyone else is doing is really inspiring. It's kind of like, oh, I love those colors, or that block is really interesting, or, you know, just lots of different things. And then, of course, people keep coming up with new tools, and I'm a total gadget nut. So it's like, oh, I want that, and I want to try it. So
what's one of your favorite new ones that you've experimented with, a gadget or a tool?
Well, it's by So Kind of Wonderful. It's a little curved ruler thing that you can make mm-hmm. Those Drunkard's Path blocks out of. That was fun. I kind of had fun with that over Christmas time. And, you know, just things. And it's fun to sew when it's not work sewing.
Yeah.
So that's when I really play with other tools and,
right.
and that kind of thing.
You can't do that when you have a deadline. Then you're like.
No.
You have to do your tried and true because – It takes too much time. You don't get to enjoy the process of learning if you're rushing.
Exactly, exactly.
So. Now, one of the things that I want you to share with us is you have some great tips for scallop borders. And you have a tutorial on your website. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I've always been fascinated by scallop borders. And maybe it's because initially the first quilt that I remember seeing was a quilt my grandmother made. It was a sunbonnet Sioux quilt, and it didn't have scallop borders, but it was done in all of those bead sack prints and things like that. So, you know, that to me, I kind of connect scallop borders and all. And so it was kind of a challenge to figure out how to do it without going crazy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I just set out to kind of try to figure out, how can I do this? How could I teach people how to do this so that they can walk out of the class and have something that's ready, that has the binding on it, actually, and ready? So that is kind of what drove me to it. And, you know, a couple of the tips are, you know, be sure you have your quilt all quilted before you do anything with cutting, any curves or anything like that. The quilting stabilizes the fabric because you end up with real stretchy edges when you're cutting curves. Things like, I stay stitch the edge, I draw the curve, and then I stay stitch it, I stitch over the top of it. And then I trim just outside of that, and that stabilizes things really nicely.
That's a good tip on drawing it and then sewing a lot. Do you make a longer stitch when you do that stay stitching?
I would do, yeah, it's usually a longer stitch or a stitch length that you would use if you were machine quilting.
Okay.
You know, if you're doing a walking foot and machine quilting. So, yeah, it is a little bit longer stitch. And, you know, the other thing is if you know you want to scallop a border, make your borders a little bit wider, and then you have a little bit more room to work. And the other thing is if you want your long-arm quilter to quilt those scallops, you don't cut the scallops or anything before you give it to her, but make sure the borders are extra wide, and then draw where you are going to have the scallops so she can see or he where those scallops are going to be, and you can get to just some gorgeous feather quilting and in the border.
Now I want to do that, Celine. That's like
well, there's a free pattern on my website that you can do. It's just a little tiny. Little tiny topper, and it maybe isn't the easiest thing to scallop, but it kind of gives you a really small project that you don't have a lot of emotional investment in to play with.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You don't want to put your, you know, 3,000 hour quilt top and then practice scalloping.
No.
Do it.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, and this is on your PerkinsDryGoods.com, and you go under the shop tab on under free pattern. That's where Celine has that. Now, how do you get them so perfect like that? I have problems with that.
That particular free pattern has templates that I drew so that you don't. I did the measuring for people. What I usually do is I'll measure between. What would be the cornerstones if you had cornerstones in your border? Mm-hmm. Measure that distance, like essentially from the inside corner. Maybe I'm not making sense, but within the cornerstone area, and then you can take a tape measure or a piece of paper, and you can kind of fold it up and get an idea of how many scallops you might have in that area. And then a lot of times I use a dinner plate. And I'll mark, you know, my scallops are going to be 6 inches wide, I'll measure 6 inches across the arc of the dinner plate and mark it with like a Sharpie pen. Mm-hmm. You can remove that with nail polish so your family won't think you're crazy.
All these tips, you know. get the Sharpies off the dinner plates. Have you ever used a specialty ruler? I know there's specialty rulers for drawing scallops and calculating them. Have you played with any of those?
You know, I do. I like, there's one by Katie Lane that I'm not sure if they're still available. I think they are, but Katie Lane does a ruler, and then Darlene Zimmerman has one that's a Mylar one that's adjustable.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in two sizes, and that actually is my favorite one.
Yes.
Yeah, so because it's so versatile.
Yeah, I think I own the second one. I don't think I played with it yet, but I really should. Although you did the math for me on yours, so that's good. I don't have to think. Oh, so tell me, when you go to a quilt show, what attracts you? Are you there to look for certain kinds of quilts? Are you there to see what people are buying? What are you doing when you go to a quilt show?
You know, it's kind of all of the above. I like to look at the quilts, the textures and the colors and the skills. Now, I've never, ever entered a quilt in a quilt show, so there's a little bit of, you know, side envy there, I guess. So I like that, but I really like to go through the vending area and see what's new.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always on the look for, you know, what are the new fabric lines? What are shops? What's working for them?
Mm-hmm. And, well, I always like to see what people are buying. You know, you go into a booth and it's like, well, what are people buying right now? What's exciting in my area of the world? Or like if I'm traveling to another a show out of my own state, you know, it's always fascinating. Sometimes you're like, wow, that's what's, you know, that's hot today. I have to buy it, you know.
I have a friend who, if we have a deal, if whoever dies first, the other one goes over and cleans out their stash so that to reduce the trauma on the husband.
Yes. Yeah. The family can't handle it. So Celine, this has been so much fun.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, I am so delighted to have you. Everybody needs to go visit Celine Perkins at PerkinsDryGoods.com and try those scallops and send her a note that you did, right?
Yes, or email me with a question if you've got one.
Yeah, so that'll be super cool. We are going to be right back after this break.
Great. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Join American Patchwork and Quilting on Facebook for daily quilting inspiration, tips, giveaways, and more. Find us at facebook.com/APQ magazine. See our editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on videos.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and it's always exciting when an industry, a company in our industry hits a big anniversary. And this year, the Electric Quilt Company is 25 years old. And I asked Christine Kohler to join me and tell me a little bit about what that means at the company and what's going on in their year-long celebration. Hey, Christine.
Hi, Pat. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I am wonderful. This is like such a big happy birthday, 25 years.
I know. It's such a big deal. I'm so excited.
So did Penny McMorris, who started this, did Penny realize like way in advance, or did all of you have to go to her and say like, knock, knock, Penny, it's 25 years?
You must know her well. That's basically like exactly what happened. I asked her that, and she said she's never really kept track of the years, and she said she didn't really even notice it until somebody in the office pointed it out, and we just sort of made the decision for her, like, hey, this is a big deal. We need to do something big and celebrate.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I thought you all probably had to tell her it's time for a party.
Right, exactly.
So how many people are at the company? How big of a company is this? Industry, most of the companies are fairly small.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that we're as small as we are. We only have about 12 employees here.
Yeah.
And we're just based out of this small town in Ohio, Bowling Green, Ohio, and there's just about a dozen of us here.
Yeah. So you can party all year, but you needed more friends for the party. So you are
right. We definitely knew we wanted to make the party last as long as possible. So we said, why not do it all year long? And so we invited some of our other good friends in the industry to help us out with it. I've got a list here of the monthly contest that we're doing, which is our big thing. Every month this year, we're going to do a giveaway. We reached out to some people we've worked with in the past or some people that we're currently working with, and they were so generous and so willing to sponsor that we just couldn't be more proud to work with them. Our first one was Michael Miller. We just finished our contest with them in January. Every contest, there's one a month, and it opens on the 10th of every month, and it closes on the 25th of every month. Okay. There's a contest running on our blog and then on the sponsor's blog. So on our blog, you can find a prize from the sponsor, and on the sponsor's blog, you can find a prize from us.
So do you have a spot like on the electricquilt.com website where people can go get the list of the upcoming ones?
Absolutely. If you go to our homepage, which is just electricquilt.com, there's a red flag banner up in the top corner. It says celebrate or happy 25 years or something. That links you to all of our information about the 25th anniversary. You can see the whole contest schedule, which I'll tell you who's featuring each month's contest. You'll get information and pictures of the grand prize giveaway. We have it tied into people who use our hashtag EQ25 on Instagram. It pulls in those photos that you post.
Cool.
So there's a lot going on those pages, and it tells you every way you can be involved and every way you can win something.
That is neat. Well, we'll just let people go there and look at what all the different ones are, because I want to talk about some other things too about EQ. Now with this celebrating, which there are a lot of people who own Electric Quilt, but there are people who don't know what the company is. Can you give me just a brief background, to tell me what exactly Electric Quilt is?
Sure. I answer this question all the time. what we make is software for your computer that allows you to design your own quilt. You don't have to, use other people's patterns or, draw it out on graph paper and color it and just hope that it turns out to look the way you had pictured in your head. It's a software that allows you to design your own blocks or use blocks that are already in the software and lay it out into any quilt you can imagine, color it any way you can think of, export your designs and get your fabric yardage. And it's just a great way to visualize your quilt and get sewing as soon as possible, or not if you just want to design in it for hours.
Right. I was just going to say, I think there are people who actually just quilt in EQ, that they make their quilts in EQ. They just love to make different designs up and save them. And you have a huge forum too, don't you?
Yeah, we have a sister website dedicated to sort of a community for EQ users called doyoueq.com. And there we, share people, users' tutorials, lessons. People can post different projects. We offer a free fabric download every month. There's always free projects that we come up with that you can download. It's a great community for people who have EQ7 and want to interact with each other.
And also, if people have a question, they get in there and they're like, I need some help. You have a fantastic tech support, but also the community can answer questions.
Yes, in the forum, yes. People who know the answer can help out. And that's kind of what is happening, I've noticed, on social media now. People will post questions there, and before we can even answer it, somebody else will sometimes.
Yay! Now you have.
So that's nice. There's always help anywhere you look, whether you just use Google or you use social media or our forum, or just pick up the phone and call us. We're here to help you.
Now, one of the neat things is you just sent me a little note the other day saying that my fabric line from Moda, Hometown Girl, you have for your EQ download. So tell people how that works.
Okay. Your line, I also looked up from 2014, I think the Sweet Life collection mm-hmm. is in one of those. It's called EQ Stash Online. And it's a downloadable fabric library for EQ7. And the software itself comes with over 5,000 fabrics in it from top manufacturers you'll definitely recognize. But, you know, those get outdated. So we like mm-hmm. to provide, you know, brand new fabrics that you can download and install right into your EQ7. So a few times a year, I think three times a year, we come out with a new download. We reach out to, you know, 12 or so of the top manufacturers and ask them to send us fabric, you know, their newest lines that they have. And we scan them and crop them and make sure they look the way they're supposed to look when they're placed in a quilt. And we put them all into a quick and easy download on our website for you. And you can purchase those and download them right into your EQ7 within minutes. And then you're designing with the newest fabrics. You get the designer information, the collection information, and all that.
It's so fantastic because somebody may have an idea of, you know, a color combination using my fabric, but unless they, you know, it's just, you know, but rather than cutting it up, you know, this is such a great way. They can just plug it in to a block or a couple blocks, a whole quilt, and see how it all looks. It's a
exactly.
good thing.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is that if you, you know, your stash at home, you can just scan what you already have and get it into the software so you can see, you know, what you're already working with or what you might want to go buy, or you can just use solid colors to represent stuff you already have, or it's just a great way to get an idea what, you know, what the quilt's going to look like when it's done, or what you want it to look like when it's done. And sometimes when we post a picture of the EQ design side by side with the finished quilt, some people at first glance can't even tell which one is which. It's that close.
Yeah, it really is good, and it really does. It keeps the scale of the fabric, which is really important. You know, you don't want a little print to show up real big so that it doesn't give you the feel of what you're looking for.
Exactly.
You also told me that like, I think the idea of scanning your own fabric in is really cool because you might need to see it next to something new you're going to buy. But you also said there's a way to keep some notes.
Yes, that's another one of my favorite features of this program. It's like they thought of everything. So I just imagine people's, you know, where they keep their stash of fabric, whether if they, you know, are like me and would have it all organized in separate boxes by color or by whatever, or if it's just kind of all over the place and you can't keep it together, probably because you're always pulling from it or looking through it to see what you've got. EQ7 allows you to scan your fabric and import it into the program, or you can even just take a quick picture of it if you don't, you know, mm-hmm. if you just want to be faster about it, you can take a quick picture, import it into the program, and there your fabric stash will virtually live, and you can browse through it and see everything you've got in a matter of seconds. And you can attach each piece of fabric has a note card attached to it, and you can put any sort of information you want to be able to remember, the designer name, the SKU number, the collection name, how much of it you have, maybe where you have it stored. You know, you have this fabric in box 2 or in closet, you know, living room closet or whatever. So when you're using it in a quilt, you know, you can see, you know, where do I have this or how much mm-hmm. do I have or what is it called? I need to buy more of it. So, yeah, you can attach any information to it that you want.
I love that part. It's in the big grocery bag behind the sofa. That would be where some
exactly.
of us would write that. Now, some people like to take in-person classes to learn software because they just
absolutely.
Need to have a person, you know, there right with them. Does Electric Quilt have a list of places that you are available for in-person classes?
Yes, and I totally agree that it's so nice to be able to take a class and have someone right there that can answer your question or help you if you get behind on something or whatever it takes. And just last year, we started EQ Academy, which is our own weekend retreat, if you will, of EQ classes, and we also cover our EQ Stitch embroidery program. We started it last year. We had one weekend in April that we did it just to see, you know, how it would turn out, and people loved it. The reviews were amazing. We were so happy we did it that we decided to do it again this year. It's going to be again in April. We do it in Perrysburg, Ohio. It's not far from, it's just a few minutes from our office here. And then we also offered a second location this year. It's going to be in September in Denver. Mm-hmm. And besides those two, I would encourage anybody who just doesn't want to travel or spend the weekend away to call your local quilt shop. And oftentimes your quilt shop, especially if they sell EQ7, they'll have EQ classes or they'll at least probably know of one nearby that does.
That's a good tip, because a lot of local teachers will have a workshop or even at a quilt show. If you're going to a quilt show,
check
the roster to see what's going on.
Neat.
So tell me one other place on Electric Quilt that people should definitely visit.
Okay. Well, if you've got the program, you should definitely be on dueq.com. That highlights all of the free stuff we give away, and we have a newsletter, an email newsletter for dueq.com that comes out twice a month, and it features all the free stuff we do every month, a free fabric download, a free project, a free lesson, any giveaways that we're doing. That's the place to get free stuff. If you don't have EQ7, I would encourage you to go to the same website, but while you're there, visit the quilt gallery. That shows side-by-side quilts of what it looks like in EQ compared to their finished quilt, and it is amazing what people can design and how closely the two images are to each other. It's just amazing to see some of those pictures. So I would encourage you to visit that for sure.
And also, I want to tell everybody to look at some of the other products like the block base that are – And you mentioned the EQ Stitch. There's a whole lot of different types of packages that could be used. So, Christine, this has been great. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pat.
I visit everybody. Go visit them at the electricquilt.com website. This is American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Please visit us at allpeoplequilt.com. And you can sign up for the newsletter. Visit me at patsloan.com and sign up for my newsletter and find out all that's going on.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to vids, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.